You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
The world's largest basmati rice exporter, an Indian rice processing and exporting company, has its eyes set on the non-basmati space. Wondering why? Stay tuned to find out. Hello and welcome back to CNBCTV18.com. This is Kanishka Sarkar and you are listening to the Top News Podcast. I'm back here with the latest on stock markets, COVID-19 pandemic, Rajya Sabha elections, and what's likely to happen at the GST Council meet and more. First up, here's how the market fared on June 3rd. After opening sharply higher, the market erased all intraday gains and ended moderately lower. Sensex fell more than 600 points from day's high to end 49 points lower at 55,769, whereas the broader Nifty shed 44 points to settle at 16,584. Index heavyweight, Reliance Industries and IT stocks were the major gainers, whereas Ultratech Cement shed as much as 5%. So the shares of Reliance Industries, that is RIL, ended 2% higher after Castrol India Limited partner with Reliance Jio BP to sell lubricants in India. This is amid a buzz about the company's intentions to enter the electric vehicle charging business. During the day, as the stock rallied over 3%, it was just 1.8% away from its 52-week high of 2,855 rupees. Siemens stocks, meanwhile, tumbled as Ultratech's CAPEX plan sparked competition fears. Shares of Ultratech Cement opened more than 2% higher after the company announced its expansion plan but could not hold on to early gains and tumbled over 3%. The company said that the board of directors have approved a capital expenditure plan of 12,886 crore rupees towards increasing capacity by 22.6 metric tons per annum with a mix of brownfield and greenfield expansion. So the race among cement makers to increase their capacity comes as the center would be spending a whopping 7.5 trillion rupees to build roads and ports to boost growth. India's official GDP growth rate for the January to March period hit a four-quarter low of 4.1% on year as expected. And for the full year ended March 2022, economic growth came in at 8.7%, which was also in line with estimates, but due to a low base. That, along with projections of a normal monsoon by Weather Office, have optimists betting big on the rural theme. Monsoon delivers about 70% of the country's annual rainfall, and a normal season typically boosts demand for two-wheelers, tractors, consumer staples, and FMCG products. Though cost pressure continues to haunt businesses across the board, all is not lost in pockets such as two-wheelers and commercial vehicles, that is farm equipment in particular. According to Deepak Jasani, the head of retail research at HDFC Securities, in the current uncertain times, the rural play is defensive, and if the monsoon plays out as forecast, we could see a faster recovery from the rural side. However, it may not be uniform across population segments, which is why auto sales are looking better than FMCG sales. Meanwhile, Geojit Financial Services analysts Saji John and Vincent K are banking on positive rural sentiments due to onset of normal monsoon, better crop yield, increase in kharif crop sowing, and policy support such as steps to ease cost of edible oils. Next up, on the commodities front, oil prices moved in a thin range even after OPEC Plus announced an increase in production. The international oil prices are reaching to the US crude inventories, where there has been a very sharp decline by 5.07 million barrels. On the other hand, OPEC Plus countries have decided to double their July and August output by nearly 6 lakh and 48,000 barrels per day. Moving on, here's the latest on the pandemic. India recorded more than 4,000 daily COVID cases for the first time in 84 days. This is as per data released by the Union Health Ministry at 8 a.m. this morning. So India's single-day spike seems to be driven by Kerala, which reported the maximum COVID cases at 1,370, whereas Delhi also registered 373 new cases, according to the bulletin. Meanwhile, Maharashtra recorded 1,045 new COVID cases in the last 24 hours, and of these, Mumbai accounted for 704 alone. Next up are a few updates on business and economy front. In the upcoming meet, the GST Council is likely to maintain status quo on the taxation on textile, according to sources. This development comes even as high prices of raw material amid inflationary pressure have been impacting textile mills. Inverted duty structure under GST means that tax on raw material and intermediates is higher than that on finished products. At present, the rate on man-made fiber, yarn and fabrics is 18%, 12% and 5% respectively. The GST Council is likely to meet in the second half of June. It may take up the report by a group of ministers on online gaming, casinos and race courses and is likely to decide in favor of the unanimous view in the report, according to sources. They said that a group of ministers is recommending levying a 28% GST on gross gaming value. Currently, services of casinos, horse racing and online gaming attract 18% GST. Moving on, KRBL, world's largest basmati rice exporter, is focusing on enhancing its presence in the non-basmati space as well, with its plans to set up 3 plants in Gujarat, Karnataka and Madhya Pradesh. Of these, the plants in Karnataka would exclusively produce non-basmati rice. Ashish Jain, CFO at KRBL, says that the idea behind this is that India Gate brand and the overall India Gate platform offer significant benefits to customers, which they now want to port onto the non-basmati space as well. He says that while Gujarat and Karnataka plants would be operational by FY24, the Madhya Pradesh plant would be ready by FY25. Moving on the global level, Elon Musk has paused all hiring at Tesla and says that there is a need to cut staff by 10%. In an email titled Pause All Hiring Worldwide, he said that he has a super bad feeling about the economy. Earlier, Musk was in news for asking his employees to either report to office or quit. Next is an update on the political front. The race for the 6th seat of Rajya Sabha from Maharashtra will see a battle between Bharatiya Janata Party and Shiv Sena. Both parties are falling short of numbers and are going all out to get their candidates elected to the upper house of the parliament. Looking at the maths behind the polls, a candidate needs support from 42 MLAs to be elected. The BJP has 105 MLAs and has named 3 candidates from the state, that is Piyush Goyal, Anil Bonde and Dhananjay Mahadik. Shiv Sena has 56 MLAs, NCP has 54 MLAs and Congress has 44 MLAs. While Shiv Sena has named 2 candidates, Sanjay Raut and Sanjay Pawar, NCP has named Praful Patel and Congress chose Imran Pratapgari as its candidate. The 3 parties can easily send one of their candidates to the upper house as they have the required numbers. Shiv Sena might face a tough time with its second candidate, that is Sanjay Pawar. For the BJP, getting the numbers for a third candidate will be challenging. The BJP has comfortable numbers for Goyal and Bonde but is falling short to get Mahadik elected. Lastly, Forbes' list of richest people in the world is out, and guess who's India's wealthiest person? Yes, a billionaire Mukesh Ambani has retained the wealthiest Indian crown and is on the 6th position on the Forbes' richest people in the world list. He is 3 notches ahead of Gautam Adani. With that, we end this podcast, but before I sign out, here's an opportunity where we will listen to you. In case you have any queries or suggestions, please do write to us at cnbctv18podcast@nw18.com. I'll be back next week with top stories from around the world. Till then, stay tuned to cnbctv18.com for all the latest updates. Thank you for listening.